Let us pray. Father God, Lord, this song is our prayer. Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts, our minds, our soul to receive what your word has to say to us. That we would be that sanctuary, that we would allow things inside of us that aren't in accordance with you to be drawn out, to be molded out, Father God, so that we can be the people you've called us to be. So that we can live lives according to your word. So we can be those sanctuaries. So Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do in and through your word today. Anything that's inside of me that's not of you, take it out, Lord, that your words would come out, not my own, and that you would get the glory. We state these things in Jesus' name as we say, amen. And so as we prepare this morning, that song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. You know, one way that we do that, one way that we understand it is by going to his word. We can be assured that his word does not come back void, that it has power, that it has power to change. And we are supposed to understand and read it and allow it to penetrate our hearts and our minds and our soul. And so we're going to do for the summer, we're going to go through a couple what is called minor prophets. And so I know a lot of times we talk about minor prophets, we don't really fully understand what that means. We have prophets in the Old Testament, and they're minor because they're just shorter books. It's not because they have less importance, they're just shorter books of the Bible. And what I want us to understand is that because the word does not come back void, there is power for us in the Old Testament. There's power for us to understand in these prophets. It's not just for the people he was talking to then. His word is still active for us to receive. He didn't write this down just so we can have a history. He wrote this down so that we can glean and learn and be continue to be developed. So we're going to look at the book of I call it Haggai. Obviously, Dalen wants me to call it Haggai. He's been saying that this whole Sunday morning. We're going to be looking at the book of that book. We're going to be looking at that book this morning. And just so we get an understanding of what's happening around Haggai, this next slide looks at a different timeline. So what was going on is that you had the Jewish people, they had gone into captivity. The Babylonians had taken them over. And so they were in captivity for 70 years. They were exiles from Jerusalem, from their temple. Their temple was destroyed. All that was going on. And now they had this time from then get a chance to come back. You had a new nation come over. Persia came and took control. And so at this moment, they have a king named Cyrus who said, I want you guys to go back and build your temple. He understood who they were. He understood what they wanted to do. So he said, I'm going to send you back. Now I'm going to send you back. I'm going to give you money. I'm going to provide the resource for you to go back and rebuild your temple. So this remnant was going back, led by Zerubbabel and Joshua. And we'll hear a little bit about that today. And so we see that Cyrus decrees that the Jews may return to Judah at 538 BC. Zerubbabel leads the exiles to Judah at 537 BC. The temple altar is rebuilt at 536, so they come back, they're excited. We're going to rebuild this temple. You know, everybody came, they marching in, they ready to do it. They're about to rebuild, they're about to go back to the old ways. They're showing that God had restored them, so they were all excited about coming back. And we see 535 to 520, the temple just construction was stopped. So they were there for a year or two, and they were doing good, and all of a sudden, the temple stopped. And this is where Haggai comes into play, and he comes to tell them, what are you doing? How come this temple has been stopped? And so we're going to start looking at that. There's this understanding they came here to, the purpose was to rebuild the temple. And that we see here that for over, they say, some people say 17, but really over, around at least 15 years, nothing happened. nothing happened, and Haggai is coming to talk to him. So we're going to look at Haggai chapter 1 today. And in Haggai chapter 1, we're going to take it section by section. And it says in verse 1, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And so the first thing I want us to understand is, the first thing that we understand from here is when God gave Haggai a word, it went to the leaders. It went to the people who were supposed to be in charge. The understanding is Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah. He was the person who was supposed to be in government, right? He was from the line of David, and so he was this person. And then you had the high priest. The two people were supposed to lead them to rebuild the temple, lead them back to restore what was going on. The prophecy went to them first, the leaders. And it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. So it's been over 15 years, and he's saying, now listen, Haggai's going to name, he's like, now leaders, these people, God is saying, these people keep on saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house. Their purpose to go down there was to rebuild the temple and to restore this land, and yet it's been over 17 years since they actually went down there, and it's still not rebuilt. And he said, and they keep on saying, the time has not yet come. And so one time we look at that, we're like, man, look at these people. See, this is what the Bible's full of. These people who don't finish what they're started, they keep on messing up. They're doing all these crazy things. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. But I want you guys to understand what happened. If you look at Ezra, really chapter 4:3 and 4, you'll understand that the reason why they felt they were supposed to stop is because when they got down there to rebuild, they were all excited. A couple things happened. These outside people wanted to help them build, and they said, you can't help us build because we're supposed to rebuild it. Those outside people did not like that. And so they started creating different things around them. They started bribing officials to stop them from rebuilding. They started going around and getting the authorities to change and to do all these things to thwart them rebuilding the temple. Not only that, they had internal struggles. People who saw the old temple, we're going to hear a little bit more about this next week. People who saw the old temple was like, this temple not as good as that temple. And so you see people getting frustrated, like, this not even going to be good. What are we doing down here? Not only that, some of their money started drying up. You had different kings come into power who may not have been as happy what they were doing as King Cyrus. You had the outside forces sending letters to those kings saying, look at what these people are doing. These evil people are trying to rebuild this city. And this city has always been a hotbed of not wanting to do what the kings want, a hotbed of being disorganized and being frustrating to everybody. And so look what they're doing. So you had all these things happening around them. Not only that, it was hard work. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get excited about going to do something, and by, you know, if let's say it takes 10 days, by day 2, I'm like, ah, my excitement has gone. They came down with trumpets, and everyone's excited. They started rebuilding. It's like, wait a minute, I got to carry these rocks. I got to be out here in the middle of the day. I saw a guy there building a house right down the street, and the guy was building the trenches to put the pipe in, and he was at least 5 to 6 feet under the, like in the ground with this big one. I thought to myself, it was hot yesterday. I was like, man, I do not want to do that. But you can see all these things were going on, and they were able to justify why they had to stop. You see, we think it's just crazy. Oh, they didn't want to do it. They just didn't want to do it. No, they had some reasons around them, and that was what they used to justify why they wanted to stop. They said, listen, it's not working out in our favor right now. Listen, it's too hard. The kings aren't giving us the money. We're not doing it. We need to stop. It must not be the right time. I don't know about you, but I think we do that a lot. We find reasons to justify why we're not supposed to do something. It's not the right time. There's a time in the future we're supposed to do this, but it ain't right now. Because it's not working out the way, it's not as easy as we want it to be. You know, one thing they say is delayed. I was talking to, I think JT told me this, you know, delayed obedience is disobedience. They had a great reason for why they weren't going to do it anymore. At one point, if you look in Ezra, there's one point where it's either, and people have different understandings of when this happened, where the actual king said, stop building. You're not allowed to build anymore. And so you had all these outside forces. So it made sense for them to say, this ain't the right time. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but a lot of times we do that same thing. We justify why we don't need to do something. But what God is saying, I don't care what they said. What did I tell you? I don't know if you had a dad like that or a mom like that or a parent like that where your friend, you're like, listen, I can't do that. My friend said it's not good. I don't care what your friend said. What did I tell you to do? But daddy, they're not going to like me. I ain't care if they're going to like it. What did I tell you to do? But it's too hot outside. I told you to do. What did I tell you to do? Stop making excuses. Do what I told you to do. I do that to my son. But dad, I want to hear that but. Do what I told you to do. And this is what God is saying to them right now. You're giving me all these excuses of why you can't do it. Do what your purpose to go down there was to do this. Now go do it. Your purpose was not to go down there to have fun. Your purpose was going down there to rebuild the temple. That's why you were given this money to do this. Now go do it. Don't give me excuses. Go do it. But see, we are able to justify. They were able to justify. It wasn't the right time. And then what happens a lot of times, self-justification many times leads to misplaced priorities. So in Haggai 1, 3, and 4, it says, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains ruined? You see, so the idea was like, now listen. What they said is not time for us to rebuild the temple, so we might as well redo our house. We might as well take care of our own things. You know, God wants me to take care of myself. He needs me to take care of our houses. And so, and it's not just that they had a house here. He's like, I'm not asking you not to have a house, but how come your house has panels? All these big walls. You've done remodeling on your houses, and yet the temple is still in ruin. He's saying you have misplaced priorities. See, when we lose purpose, what we do, we try to find a purpose in something else. When we forget what our purpose is, we'll look to it and say, oh, it must be my house to build up my house. It must be this relationship to build this relationship. It must be this job to get more money. I'm trying to find purpose in something else because I've lost the purpose I came down here to do. They lost their purpose, so they found purpose in building something, making their houses nicer. And God was not pleased. He said, man, y'all living nice, but my temple, where I'm supposed to be, is still in shambles. And then he goes, and verses 5 through 11, now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. I love, a lot of times in other versions, it says, consider your ways. I love that phrase, consider your ways. I think this needs to be a phrase that we need to remember for the rest of our lives. Every time we read the Bible, God is telling us, consider your ways. Consider your ways in contrast to what he is saying. He's telling them, now consider your ways. You decide to have your own houses. You forgot your purpose of why you came down. Now consider your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought. Consider your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber to build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but you see it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin. while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. He's like, I need you to consider your ways. Now, I'm going to give you this prophecy. Hey, how come y'all got these nice panel houses? Now, consider your ways. Consider, it says, take heart on your road, is what it's saying. Think about where you're going. Take heart. Think about it for a long time. Process it. Consider your ways. Look, everything you're doing, you have this new purpose, but not everything you're doing is not doing anything for you. You're working real hard, and you ain't getting nowhere. You're drinking a whole bunch, and you're still thirsty. You put on a whole bunch of clothes, and you can't get warm. I love it where it says, you make all this money and you put it in a purse with holes in it. I don't know if you ever felt like that, but I feel like that all the time. You're making all this money and you can't figure out where it's going. Consider this. What's going on? You're not able to plant or harvest, not able to do any of these things. And what he's telling them, what he's reminding them is that in Deuteronomy, it says, when you don't obey me, these things are going to happen. He calls them back to this understanding of curses. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 17, it says, then the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce. And you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. He said, look, when you don't do it, things are going to happen. And in Deuteronomy 28, it pretty much actually says exactly what happens here. If you don't obey me, these things, the oil's going to dry up. You're not going to be able to do nothing. Consider your ways. This just ain't because life is hard. God's saying, I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to hurt. I don't want to say he's trying to hurt. He's trying to let them know these pains are telling you're doing something wrong. Get back on track. You don't hear it when it's not working for you. You know it's supposed to be a land of milk and honey. You know it's supposed to work out in your favor. I've told you these blessings are going to happen. It's not working out. Think about that. Get back to your purpose. Oh, you can't. If that's not going to work, I'm going to send Haggai to you then. So he can tell you this is the reason why these things aren't working. Now, this is the reason why you're frustrated. You feel like you can't get by. You feel like you can't move forward because you're not moving forward in the way I called you to move forward. You're not going to be blessed until you do what I've asked you to do. Daddy, why can't I go outside? Because you ain't do what I asked you to do. God's telling them, consider your ways. Consider what's going on. It's not by happenstance. It's because you're not doing what I've called you to do. It's saying you're showing what you value because you're building your houses. Where your money and your time goes is what you value. You're showing me what you value. And it's not the purpose that you came down here to do. Consider your ways. Verse 12, it says, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. And he said, so when they heard this, they realized, oh, this is why we lost focus. And it started with the leaders. The leaders realize it has to start with the leaders. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, I had one commentator say, you don't know if, let's say everyone else stopped building the temple and just the two leaders went out there and started building the temple. I wonder if it would have caused the rest of everybody to stir and be like, maybe we should be doing that too. It said it stirred something in them. And then when they heard this term, I am with you, the people said, oh, God is with us. Let's get it done. So they went back to build the temple. You can see them getting excited. This is not the end of Haggai. So there's some things that are going to come up even after you get excited. You get re-energized to do what God's called you to do. And he said, but this is what happens. So now all of a sudden, now they're going to rebuild the temple. They go back to rebuilding the temple. And you might say to yourself, Dwayne, this is great. This is history. I'm glad it's history. Them people should have known better. They should have done better. But Dwayne, he ain't asked us to rebuild no temple. Right? There's no work that we're supposed to go out and labor to do. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not quite sure he ain't called us to do something. Our calling is to create disciples and to use our gifts to develop the church. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. He says that same thing that stirred up the people, that Haggai stirred up the people of Israel when they were to rebuild a temple. He said, I am with you. Now go and make disciples. This is your purpose. Wherever you go, go and make disciples. You're called to help build his church. It may not be a temple, it's his church, his people. You're called to be active in building that church, discipling people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his body for good works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He said, listen, I've given you a purpose. Now, what are you doing? You see, we think it's history about the people coming back, the remnant coming back. But he's saying, I'm asking you the same question. Consider your ways. He's asking us today, consider your ways. Your purpose is to build. Your purpose is to create, to make disciples. Your purpose is to use your gifts to make sure the church is built up. Now consider your ways. Are you doing what I asked you to do? As people who are followers of Jesus Christ, are we doing what he asked us to do? Are we evangelizing? Are we sharing our testimony? Are we using the gifts and talents God has given us to encourage and to build one another up so that we can all be unified in what we're doing to move forward? Are we doing those things? Consider your ways. Some of us are frustrated. Things ain't working out. And he's saying, consider your ways. Are you on the purpose that I've given you, or are you on your own agenda? Consider your ways. What are our self-justifications? You know, COVID, man. COVID messed us up. We couldn't meet, couldn't use my gifts, couldn't really talk to people. And coming out of COVID, and it's still real, and I gotta kind of stay away. I haven't really done anything for the Lord for a long time. Yeah, people who don't go back to, have never gone back into fellowship since, because they said, it just ain't the right time to go back. But not just COVID. I'm tired. I'm a little sleepy. Don't feel like doing this, you know? And God wants me to take care of myself. I need a little me time, right? One thing we're going to hear when it comes to the screw tape letters is that there's one of the tricks of the devil is to make you think you own your own time. But I need a little me time. God wants me to take care of myself before I can take care of anybody else. I ain't got enough money. I gotta work a little harder. I don't have the car I want. When I get the car I want, I'll be able to drive to do the things that you need me to do. You know, we look at them, we're like, man, them people tripping. In history, they just ain't want to do it. He's like, no, they actually had people telling them, trying to thwart them from doing it. We just be like, I don't feel like it. I'm a little tired today. I'm thirsty. Whatever excuse we make, and we're able to justify it, I don't think they're going to listen to me. I'm not around anybody who wants to hear the gospel. We make all these excuses of why we're not doing it just like they did. And God's saying, I don't care what you think. Do what I asked you to do. Our Father is telling us. Do we have misplaced priorities? When you get frustrated and you know it's not going the way you want, or you make all these things, then you start finding other things to do. Well, I got to work on my house. I'm not going to lie to you. So, the other day, about 2 weeks ago, so this has been on my heart for a couple months, Haggai. And a couple weeks ago, I was staining my fence in my backyard. Staining. Now, oh man, I'm so excited. We get a chance to stain the fence. It's not really a fun process, but the idea of having something accomplished is exciting. So I'm staining my fence. I'm thinking about the sermon, and he's like, man, your fence look real good. But do you know what's going on, anyone in the church? Sitting there staining the fence. He's like, this ain't that important. You're getting all excited about this fence, but you don't know if people in the church are hurting. You don't know what's going on with your own brothers and sisters. You're not building the church. You're worried about your house. Said, Dwayne, consider your ways. I don't know if it hits anyone else. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but he's telling us to consider our ways. What are we putting our time and our purpose into? Is that discipling? Is that he's not saying you can't have a house. He's saying make sure your priority first is for the people of God. This house can blow down in 2 days, but I need the people of God to be encouraged for the rest of their lives. Where consider your ways. Get back to doing what God's called you to do. It's time to get back. It's time to wake up. It's time to get back on that field. It's time to get back in the army. It's time to continue to move. See, the Nelsons, when you go to Tennessee, Aiden, when you go to Alabama, you might be going there to get work done and things. And he's like, no. You're still there to build my church. Wherever you go, wherever job you're at, you move from Xavier to Tulane, Esther. He's like, you had Tulane to build my church, to create disciples. I don't mind you getting money. I don't mind all this thing, but you better make sure your priorities are in focus, your priorities are straight. Do what I've called you to do first. It's like a kid. I'm telling you, kids are, it's like kids when you're saying, listen, you can go and play, but get your clothes on first. I'm not saying anything about it. Look, this might not be in my house. I'm not going to say that. But get your clothes on first. Just do this. Then you can do all those other things. Just stay focused. We say it to kids all the time, and God's saying it to us. Stay focused. Just do what I ask you to do. You can have fun. That's okay. But do this first. But instead, we do our own thing, and then we wonder why we're discontent. We wonder why things ain't working in our favor. We wonder why our money is not stretching. Things aren't happening because we're doing what we want instead of what God's called us to do. Trying to make that our purpose. If you're discontent, consider your ways. If you're frustrated with things, consider your ways. go back and ask God, God, am I doing what you've called me to do? Show me ways to go make disciples. Show me ways to build up this church. Am I doing those things? Consider your ways. If you're discontent, consider your ways today. That's going to be our motto every time we read the Bible, we should be thinking about that. Let me consider my ways in accordance to God's word. And hopefully, if we consider our ways, if we get back in focus, we can be just like them who rebuilt the temple, but even more like Christ. When Christ says, you know, we hear the passage all the time, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you. And I love that passage, but there's another passage that gets to me when Jesus was young and his parents were ready to go off, and it was like, man, they thought Jesus was with him. They went back to go find him, and Jesus is in the temple, right? And they said, what are you doing here? And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? May that be our lives. What are you doing? I'm about my Father's business. I'm not worried about what you need me to do. I'm about my Father's business. That's where you're going to find me, doing what he's called me to do. May that be the calling card of our lives as people who are called according to God, according to Christ. May this be our answer. I'm about my Father's business. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be about your Father's business. Be about using your gifts to build up the church. Be about creating disciples. Be about being a witness. Be about evangelism. Wherever you go, be about your Father's business. Because that's what it's all about. He didn't call you to New Orleans. He didn't call you to Tennessee. He didn't call you to graduate from Douglas. He didn't call you to go to Alabama. He didn't call you to do these things. He didn't call you to continue with Crescent City Cafe, or to go back into the school system, or to volunteer this summer at Jesus Project, or whatever you're doing. He didn't call you to go to med school. He didn't do all these things for you. He didn't call you to do these things for you to do what you want to do. He called you for a purpose, to build his kingdom. Consider your ways. And if you're not about your Father's business, get back on it, so that we can be who God's called us to be. And we can experience, and others can experience, the blessings of our Father. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we come before you, Thanking you for your word. That's encouraging many times, but also is a way that gets us back in line so that we can experience the joy that and the peace that passes all understanding, that we can experience what it means to thrive even in this world that seems so disjointed, that we can live out our purpose and feel purposeful each and every moment. So, Father God, as we leave here, may in everything we do, may we consider our ways. May we line it up to your word. And may our lives glorify you both now and forevermore. We state these things in Jesus' name as we say, amen.